Blog Talk Radio.
The words we speak translate into feelings that express belief systems at the conscious and subconscious level. And what we speak is what we attract towards us.
We really aren't using our minds for the most positive results in our life.
Do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make about
that? Well, this has to tie in with what the lady was just saying, as far as the way the children are raised and the environment they live in. That I'm in a recovery program now, and it teaches us that we have a philosophy here that we are all born with potential and we are not victims of circumstance. And I believe that everybody has the will to change. You can't blame the way you were raised for things you do in life. You have to be able to decide right from wrong at one point in time.
You are listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Shirley, also known as Toughway. Toughway means to appreciate God and to glorify God. Let's glorify God today on this episode of In the Spirit.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for tuning into the show today. I am so delighted to have my special friend join me today on the show. Sandra, how are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you, Shirley?
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. And why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself and some of the things that you have going on right now.
Well, I am just a woman here striving to be the best that she can be. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm originally from Eatington, North Carolina. I've been living in Raleigh now for about 18 years. I moved here and married my soulmate. I am currently working some home-based businesses with my husband, and we are both studying metaphysics and quantum physics daily, and we are enjoying life to every limit possible.
Excellent. And we are all striving to do that. And I love what you said, that you're striving to be the best that you can be. And isn't that what life is all about, Sandra? Us trying to be the best individuals that we can be on a spiritual level, physically, in any way possible. To me, life is about improving and always growing into the better you.
Correct. I have to agree totally with that. Because when you decide to work on yourself and improve yourself, everything else around you will just fall into place. Because when you
yes.
be the best you that you can be, then people, you have to radiate that to other people, and that's what they will bring back to you. So I'm a
that
great
is,
advocate for that.
Absolutely, and that is so true, because once you radiate that, it's somewhat contagious.
Correct.
Wouldn't you say, yeah.
Because
people can,
agree.
They can pick up on those vibes. And I mean, have you ever gone into a room and the environment was, or the tension? This is a popular phrase. The tension is so thick you can cut it with a knife. Well, just the opposite is true. If you radiate peace and love, that exudes out into the universe. So everywhere you go, you carry that aura with you, and that tends to change the atmosphere.
Correct. Every time. It will do it every single time. Now, if you fall prey to their energy, then sometimes they can remove your peace from you, but you have to remain calm and know, you know, and realize who you really are, that you are in control here. This is your life. This is your energy, and your energy is the energy that you will carry with you in any circumstance, and it will combat the energy of perhaps negativity that's coming towards you if you stand steadfast in your belief that you are controlling this moment at this particular time.
Absolutely. And that's the key to recognize in that microsecond that you have that you are in control of that moment. So how you respond in any given situation is totally your responsibility. And we have to take responsibility for that and not blame other people for the way we behave or react or act in any given moment.
Correct. I concur totally. And it's just
and that's going to segue us into the topic for today of our discussion on thinking outside the box.
Oh, yes. Marvelous. Well, I love that concept. You know, outside the box is where I choose to live most of the time. What about you?
Absolutely, no doubt. And a lot of times because I choose to live outside the box, sometimes I'm labeled an oddball or, you know, you're being different because you're not flowing with the way most people flow and you do things differently than the way society expects you to do things. And nothing's wrong with that because thinking outside the box is to think differently and unconventionally, or even form new perspectives. And the phrase is often referred to as a novel phrase, creative and smart thinking. But the basic idea is that you want to be creative, and you need to challenge your own assumptions and to look at things from a fresh angle. You know, you need to break out of the conventional thinking, take off the blinkers and you know, that are formed by past experiences. And that's what this whole process is about, the whole transformation process, actually. It's all about thinking differently and doing things differently and challenging your own assumptions. You know, we had talked before about those dispositions that we have to believe and think based on past experiences or what we've been taught or what everybody else does. And when you do things differently, people do tend to look at you as, you know, well, what's wrong with you?
That's correct. But it has to be done because people that are more adventurous and daring are the people who truly, seemingly shape the world. If people thought when Columbus was sailing off, what he thought, then they wouldn't have given him so much opposition. But the world was not flat, as he told many of them, it was round. And had they just stayed in the mindset of the world being flat, they would have stayed in that one spot, and that's where we would probably, most of us, be at this time.
Absolutely.
But he challenged that. He said that it is not. And he went out to prove that he was indeed correct. And here we are today, knowing that the world is round, and so many other things the same way has occurred, that people, if they had stayed in the same past mindset, would not have evolved to this state today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I like I was doing some research on that phrase, thinking outside the box, and one of the things that I learned is how it got started, is somebody, I guess, did this experiment, and they had 9 dots that formed a square, which symbolized a box. And the object is to take 4 lines and to connect 4 lines in that 9-box square without lifting your pen or pencil off the paper. And it was almost impossible to do if you stayed within that square box. But the instructions were that you couldn't draw lines outside the box to connect to the 4 points in the box. And so for the most part, everybody that took that test tried to stay within the box, and they never thought about drawing outside the box. And so when you drew a zigzag line outside the box, it connected, and you can make the 4 lines without lifting your pen or pencil off the paper.
Oh, my.
And it was possible to do it in 4 strokes.
Oh, my.
So that's how I thought that was really interesting, yeah. And it's so amazing how we do that. Even we learn that even in kindergarten, when you learn how to draw, they tell you to stay within the lines.
That's cool.
You know, you have these little outlines, and you have to color within the lines. If you go outside the line, the teacher marks the paper is wrong.
Indeed, you didn't
listen. You didn't stay inside the line. I never stayed inside the line, so I was always getting in trouble.
I must say I went outside a few times myself. now we realize, oh, that was the way we were supposed to do it.
Absolutely. And real life, though, and one of the things that I'm going through right now, and I think we had talked about this earlier also, in applying this thinking outside the box notion to my life in real time, is my transformation from being a Christian and immersed in that religion for so many years and learning a new way of thinking about the spiritual aspect of life and not so much the religious functions that I've been used to performing for so many years. And, you know, it's thinking differently, and that relates to speaking differently about my spiritual experiences. And that's a little bit difficult to do sometimes because I find myself falling back into the old way of thinking and speaking when I'm talking about spiritual things, and I have to catch myself. And I think I had mentioned also that I belong to the Unity Church now, and that's the philosophy that I'm adopting into my life.
Indeed.
And so when I catch myself in one of those old way of thinking religious modes, I have to stop and I'm thinking, okay, so how do I unitize this? How do I make this more spiritual? And I have to find ways of doing that outside of the normal parameters that I've established for myself to learn to think outside the box from a spiritual perspective.
Indeed. It takes some doing, I must say. And normally what I intend to do is surround myself with people that think outside the box on a regular basis, because that is like food for me, like food for thought, that it really is food
mm-hmm.
for thought.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's not necessary that you do it all the time, and sometimes you cannot do that. And that requires a little more concentration, as you were stating, to maintain that level of spirituality that you've developed now. And if you slip, it's okay, because in my experience, you are learning, and we're all learning. So we can, in fact, catch ourselves thinking about the old ways, and as long as we catch it and realize what we're doing, we've already gone another step.
Mm-hmm,
because
absolutely.
There are people that continuously maintain their same beliefs of the past, and to them they are correct in every aspect of their being, and it is right for them at that particular time, but it is not for us now that we're evolving to live outside of the box, because living outside the box does take a bit of courage.
Yes, it does.
You cannot, you know, succumb to the mass mindset, which has always believed in seemingly the old Christian way, and that is fine for them. We are not bashing any Christians of any kind. However, you and I seemingly believe that there's so much more to us than just what we've been taught in the past, that we have to go on further and to explore like Columbus and
absolutely.
Realize that we are infinite in our potential.
Absolutely. And it does take exploration. And like you said, a lot of people don't realize that because they're comfortable with who they are. And that's okay for them, because it's not for everyone. You know, if they're okay in their little comfort zone over here, then keep on to them. You know, that is definitely their prerogative. But when we're in the process, and I love to use this word transformation,
yeah.
or being renewed,
right.
then like you alluded to, we definitely have to surround ourselves with like-minded people.
Indeed.
who are going to support our growth and challenge us. It raises the bar, in other words, and challenge us to step up and live a higher life and improve and constantly reach to become the best that we can possibly be.
Indeed so. And I was reading something just yesterday, and it says that the crowning glory of creation was not a race of human beings, but beings of light, which we are. And living outside the box, that statement will frighten a few people, seemingly. However, you know, in our circle, we know that this is the truth outside the box.
Absolutely.
And we go on from there. We're doing our exploration and reawakening to the truth. And that takes quite a bit of courage, as I said before. It takes courage and conviction. And you have to maintain and practice, as you do when you're in the the accompaniment of people that do not think the way you do, you have to maintain your level and your vibration of peace, knowing that, you know, what you know about yourself and your evolution is true for you.
Absolutely. And stay committed to your convictions and not be swayed or moved by what other people think you should be doing or saying in any given moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that that speaks volumes in itself, because when you don't conform to other people's dictates and you stay strong in your convictions and belief and don't be swayed, that, you know, that's, people have a tendency to notice that.
Indeed.
You know, and if you continue that way over a period of time, and you know, they're going to be coming up to you, you know, something different about you. You know, what are you doing that's differently? You know, I like these vibes that I'm picking up on. You know, and then you, that's your opportunity, you know, to share your life experiences or what you're doing on your journey with that individual, you know, because they see something different about you. They see that light
that's in you. That's correct.
And they want to come out of the darkness that they're living in, because you've been a good role model and example in your belief and conviction. And they want to know, you know, well, what can I do? How can I do this? You know, how can I get some of this? Or what do I need to do to make that transformation?
That's right. Because that life is so much more peaceful. You know, your physical body and your physical mind is not what really controls. It has the appearance of controlling what you see outside of yourself. However, but if you tune in, as you said, you tuned into your guides in a previous conversation we had, you tuned into your guides and your inner self. And when that guidance is what you follow, then your life is peace and serenity all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's love.
And everyone has that guide inside of them, and they call it the little voice inside of me, the voice of God, the voice of spirit. And the more you listen and tune into that voice and do what it says, you realize it's always leading you to something that's going to benefit you. It's leading you to your good and perfect will
right.
in this life, on your journey, whatever that might be. And the key thing is learning how to listen to that voice of God and being obedient to it.
Indeed, indeed. And I have had people come up and ask, well, how do you know what voice that is that you're listening to? How do you know that's the spirits and the guides? And my answer to them was that the spirits that speak to me, I can only speak for the ones that speak to me. They only want what is good and true and beautiful. It is not about any judgment or any hostilities or anything that involves any of those things. It is always win-win. You know, it's not about I'm going to have this and you can't have this. That's not the spirit guides that talk to me. And when you first hear them, you have to learn to trust them. As you were saying, you have to learn to trust them, because you may not know what voice you're hearing, you know. Some people hear different things. But the true spirit guides will only tell you that which is good and true and beautiful. And the truth, you know, is something that you have to learn for yourself. Other people can't tell you the truth. You have to experience the truth in order to really know it.
Right. And that little voice inside is always truth. It's always speaking truth.
Correct.
And one way that we can tune into that voice is we have to be quiet. It is so much noise in this world. We are so bombarded with television, with radio, with chatter, chatter, chatter all the time. We need to learn to be still and be quiet.
I concur. I concur. I never would have gotten as far as I am in my studies without just being out in the quietness of nature. And then I learned to meditate, which was even more extraordinary for my mind, because there's always the statement that we think there are 400 billion bits of information coming into our minds per second, and we only absorb about 2,000 of those. And I thought, oh my goodness, we are simply according percentage to what's coming in, and we're only getting 2,000. Seemingly, our minds are dead. But I say, here is where we need to, as you say, quiet down, and we can pull in more than 2,000 of those thoughts coming into our mind from our creative selves and our higher selves. Our higher selves only wants the best for us, and that is all that it can provide for us. But if we come in with our negativity and our blocking of our energy by not just tuning in and just listening and being still, you know, we've missed perhaps a reason for us to be much greater at that particular time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you said something key also, meditation. That is definitely, definitely important and a key element to being able to tune into that and get into that quiet place so that you can hear the voice of God inside of you speaking the truth. Now, one of the things that I had a little bit of trouble with, again, coming, transforming from one religion into this new thought, new mindset, was determining the difference between meditation and prayer, and then what posture you assume in each one. Because, you know, again, growing up in a Christian religion, prayer, you always have to be on your knees with your hands folded and looking up and praying up to God. And I think meditation is a little bit different because you're sitting or standing or whatever, and you're going inside of you to hear the voice of God.
I concur, definitely. I do my meditation in that manner, standing or sitting, and it doesn't seemingly matter, as far as I'm concerned, whether I'm sitting or standing now because I've been doing it for so long. The fact that the mind is quiet, you can move around and still have your mind quiet. Now, I do that, you know, any given time of the day. You know, it doesn't have to be at night before I go to bed. I can set a special time to meditate because, you know, with busy lives, as most people have, they sometimes do have to set a schedule for themselves, a peaceful time, and that's fine, and that's all well as well. However, but for me now that I've been doing it for a time, I can do it moving around. So I do that, and I just quiet my mind, and I just listen. Now, when I was doing my prayers, as the old Christian way, as you stayed on my knees, usually at night or in the morning before I went off to do my daily task, that is wonderful as well. However, praying to someone above is the old way. And, you know, and outside of the box is that within is where everything comes from. If the kingdom is within, then we may as well spend our wonderful time praying or asking or at least desiring to enter that inner space within to say that I desire such and such, whatever it is that you desire. And as so within, so without. So I believe that is where I go now, and I'm used to doing the same way that you do. And every now and then I'll say, oh, God, please help me, as we all do, you know, because we have to seemingly wean ourselves from the Christian way.
Yes, and it's a process, and that's what I talk about all the time. It is a process, but like you said earlier, as long as we're in that process and recognize, you know, when we mess up, hey, it's okay, just continue on that journey regardless, you know, because you're going to fall. I mean, being in the Christian religion for 20 or 30 years and learning a new way of thinking, it's going to take time, and it's not going to happen overnight.
Indeed.
And so I need to stop beating up myself about that also.
That's right. There's no need to beat yourself up. Just say, okay, this is the way I choose to think from now on. Don't even make any guilt about, oh, no, I did that, because I used to do that too.
And
by doing that, we are changing our energy right there on our own.
And I recognize that, definitely, because you can definitely generate negative energy behind the gateway. But you know what I'm noticing? Of course, the more I do it, the better I'm becoming at it.
Right.
And for anyone else who may be going through that transition, one of the things that helps me also is guided meditation.
All right.
That helps a lot. Well, you have like the soft music playing that helps to relax you, and then you have a nice soft voice helping you to relax and just speaking peaceful words and positive words into your consciousness that's going to help synchronize you with the spirit or the light that's inside of you. And it is so peaceful when you finally get to that place.
Indeed.
Where the focus is internal, and then it seems anything around you is fades out, and then you make that connection to the Spirit of God inside of you. It's a phenomenal experience.
Oh, it's truly fascinating indeed. It is. And you cannot mistaken. If you have heard, ever heard, your higher self speak to you, there is no mistake that that is exactly what that is. There is a peace that they say passes all understanding. Well, I have had that peace, and I'm sure you have as well, Shirley,
mm-hmm.
that it cannot be mistaken for anything else, and it stays
Absolutely.
In your fiber forever.
Yes, and if you look at Christ as an excellent example, and one of the caveats that I want to put out there also is that the unity principle or trying to align with the Spirit does not negate anything that's written in the Bible, because these religious organizations still use the Bible as one of their primary references. And I'll never let go of my Bible for anything. And I always refer to it constantly. But being and trying to align with the spiritual elements of life in this universe, it gives me a different perspective on some of the things that were written in the Bible. And we have to understand that the Bible has gone through many, many years, decades, and centuries of translations. Mm-hmm. And so even though the Spirit of God is in it, it's still written by man.
Correct. Correct.
And so once the Spirit, and I've always said that even before I transformed to the unity way of thinking, is that once you really study, because that's why it tells us to study to show ourselves approved, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that's connecting with the Spirit of the essence of the Word of God, will start revealing the truth to you, and then you'll start seeing it differently, because anybody can pick up the Bible and read it like you would any other book. But when you sit there and you connect spiritually with that book and you study and you meditate on that, it just takes on a whole other life, and it's definitely spiritually transforming.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And people do have to study. You know, it's the nourishment for you. You know, you can walk around all day and say, well, I'm evolving, and this is what I do. However, there are those days I can say for me that without studying and meditating, it's seemingly easier for me to be pulled away to the old way.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian, you know, the mass mind is a powerful thing. Most people seemingly on the planet today have the Christian mindset. And like I said before, there is nothing wrong with that. It's just that some of us choose to step outside and live outside of the box. And there's nothing wrong with that either. And we have to learn to accept each other for whom we are. If you
yes.
believe one thing, that's fine. We love you too. If you believe another thing, we're not going to tie you to a cross and crucify you for your belief.
Everyone is entitled to serve whatever God that they feel comfortable serving.
Indeed.
You know, because this is a vast universe, and you have different cultures all over this earth serving different, they may have a different name, but
mm-hmm.
hopefully the spiritual component of it is all one God. We're all serving the same God. Just that he may be called Buddha in one country, he may be called Muhammad in another country, he's called Ali. Here we call him God, we call him Jesus Christ. But it's all the same Spirit of God, and it should all be, we should all be conforming to the Spirit of love.
Indeed. Unconditional love is where we
Unconditional.
Are going to evolve to at some state, although from the appearances of it, it's almost non-existent. But since we are creating what we see in our lives, we have to learn to love more ourselves if we are going to
yes.
affect the world. Not
yes.
complain that we don't see it, just love more from within, and as I stated before, it will just expand into the world and bring back to us more of the same vibration.
Absolutely, and that's an excellent example of thinking outside the box.
Yes.
Because it's not only about your religion or you and just disregard or disrespect anyone else's religion. It's about generating that love and positive energy out into the universe, and subsequently it'll come back around to you to some degree or another. One of the things I also wanted to mention, though, when we were talking about using the Bible as a study tool, we can also complement with other New Thought authors, because there's a wealth of information out there. You know, the Bible is a main book that I use and a lot of other religions use, but that's not the only option that we have. You know, studying it involves studying other people, other thoughts, other cultures even.
Indeed. I have an excellent recommendation, if I may give it.
Of course.
Oh, thank you so much. There is a book for those that are just stepping out of the box or newly out of the box that I might recommend. Are you familiar, Shirley, with the book called The Game of Life and How to Play It?
Ah, yes, uh-huh.
Oh, that is an excellent, easy read. And it has what I called the foundation for you to understand and grasp the fundamentals of stepping or living outside the box. And it is an excellent book. The author is, I believe, Florence Scovel Shinn. It's a small book. You can sit down and read it in one sitting. And it's just so full of transformational information, and it will open your eyes to the limitless power and potential that every human being has. Not just that less than 10% seemingly that we've been functioning on. You will have exposure to perhaps the 90% if your mind is willing to absorb it.
Absolutely. It sounds like an excellent book. I've heard the title before, but I've never read the book, and I will definitely go out and get that book as quickly as possible. It sounds like something I definitely need to have in my library.
Oh, you should have it. I have misplaced my copy, and I intend it not to be sad, but every now and then a little teardrop will form in my eye. That I have misplaced mine. But I said, that's all right, because I read that book and I studied that book for probably a year. And, you know, and I moved on to different other books. I have an arsenal of wonderful, enlightened books that I will share with you at any time. And they are so magnificent and so wonderful. I call them my Harry Potter collection.
And we need that, because I have built my library, and I'm rebuilding my library with this New Thought stuff now that I've transitioned. But it's like I always had a book for every mood that I was in. It's always a book to speak to you where you are in any given moment.
That is correct. That is correct. And it may not be the book that I may have recommended for you, or you might have recommended. Someone else may have a book that is the one that will speak to you. But when I come across them, I know them, because I sit with them and I dwell in them for periods
mm-hmm.
of time. And then someone may recommend another book for me, and then it's time for me to move to this new experience. But it's all integrated into the
same
vision.
And what's so phenomenal about that whole process, each book takes you to a higher level.
Indeed.
And a lot of time when Spirit would tell me it was something that I needed, and to get out of a book or something, I would go to the bookstore and didn't know what book it was, but I'd say a little prayer. Okay, Spirit, which book is it that I need at this moment? And I'd walk around the bookstore 15, 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there it is. And even though I look at the title, you know, skim through the book, it's like, oh, I don't know, you know, this doesn't seem right for right now, but I would purchase the book anyway, trusting Spirit,
indeed.
And sure enough, a couple of months or whatever later, I would have a need to read that book to get to glean whatever it was that I needed for that particular moment.
It is it's a magical thing. It really is.
It really is. And that's why my books are so precious to me. If someone says, oh, can I borrow that book? They get a look.
I know.
I will get you a copy, but you can't touch my books or my music. because they are all spirit sent. I will order you a copy real quick.
That's why I said there's a little tear building in my eye from time to time when I say, oh, my book. And I said, okay, well, that's okay. Then I convince myself and move on to the next. I knew I will retrieve another copy.
Yes.
That's what the truth is. You know, you can't really lose anything, you know, because if it's for you, then it has to be there. Your time,
right.
You know, your time frame, your human time frame, your physical time frame may be off a bit, but you really cannot lose anything.
Right. It absolutely, our time frame will definitely be off, but when we're tuned into the spirit's time frame is always on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the story that you had told earlier about how you and your husband met. Do you want to share that? You know, we were talking that you were over here doing your thing, you know, metaphysically tuning into the spirit, and he was doing his thing on 3,000 miles away. You know?
Indeed. My husband is from Los Angeles. And, of course, I've been here in Raleigh for now 18 years. And he was over there, and I thought I had always desired to have my soulmate. So at one of these women's empowerment conferences, there he was. He had come all the way from Los Angeles to North Carolina by means of someone else. And I tell people that she was a conduit to bring him here for me. Because once he got here, he was treated so harshly and so outrageously bad that he could not figure out how on earth that this could have happened. And so he decided, you know, well, this is not where the place that I need to be. At some point, he even contemplated going back. Then I met him, and we realized that, oh, my God, all this time that here was my soulmate way over here in Los Angeles, and I'm here, and I had to do my work. I had to concentrate on who I was so that I would recognize him when he came before me. Because if you don't do your work on yourself and realize, okay, this is what I stand for, this is who I am, this is the life that I intend to have, and listen and pay attention to your inner guidance, you will miss, seemingly, an opportunity at any given time. Not to say that it won't come back around to you, but you have to recognize opportunities. And without your guidance from within, it is seemingly possible. But here he was at a Women's Empowerment Conference Center, and I didn't tell you this, Shirley, but he was in his African attire. And I looked over at him, and I said, well, he looks like a king.
Wow, okay.
And I said, I'm going to just ease up just a little bit to see if he will notice me, because I'm not, you know, the kind of lady that just steps out and just goes up and announces herself. So I just wanted to see if he'd notice me. And he did, and he came across the room, and we started to talk, and his friends were there. We had a lovely conversation, and I have a pet peeve. I always look at the gentleman's shoes. I looked down at his shoes. His shoes were shined. I said, oh. How lovely. And I had already seen the kingly statue across the room, so that was already taken care of, but I had not seen his shoes. So he got close to me. I looked down, and I had seen his shoes were shined, and he was a tall, handsome, debonair man, and I have a fetish for tall men. And I said, okay, well, let me see how we respond to each other. And we were like souls. We were like what they call splitter parts.
Mm-hmm.
He was the other end of me. I was seemingly the serene, the calm, and the smart, calm person. He was the brilliant, intelligent.
I thought it was really interesting when you said, though, that he was speaking to you about metaphysical things, and you could relate to what he was saying.
Yes.
And he said something to the effect of you
understood.
Being from...
Right.
Yeah,
my being from a little town called Eatington, being a country girl, and he always says my father used to raise pigs. He said, and you came from a hog farm, and you know what I said. It was extraordinary to him that when he spoke anything of any profundities that included metaphysics or quantum physics. I understood exactly what he said, and he was astonished to no end. And it was like he had come home. He said, oh, my God. And he actually knew that I was his soulmate before I did.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that is a spiritual love story. Because like you said, you were over there in Edington, North Carolina, moved to Raleigh. You were doing the spiritual work on yourself. So Spirit was preparing you, unbeknownst to you.
Yes.
And he was over in California already doing his spiritual metaphysical thing. And so you two were both tuned in to the Spirit. So it was destiny that brought you two together.
It was truly destiny. And just to look back on it, it was such a miraculous event. And I only saw him at the end of the night. I had been there 5 to 7 hours, and I had not seen him until the end of the night, until the crowd cleared out. And I had made plans to do something else with a gentleman whom, I must say, is a lovely friend of mine right now, but his shoes were not clean.
And you see, little things like that, Spirit knew that you needed somebody with some polished shoes.
That's
why it is so important for us to pay attention to our inner guides. Because if you hadn't been at the right place at the right time, ready to receive your blessing, and you guys would have missed. You would have been like two ships passing in the night.
Indeed. And that could have easily happened, as you stated, easily have happened. At the end of the night, when people are going home, you don't expect to seemingly find the love of your life there. And most people, if they haven't found anything by then, they're just ready to go home. But I was drawn to him. And it
absolutely
been magnificent ever since.
Absolutely.
I am truly blessed.
And that is so encouraging for me. I'm working really hard.
And
that's what I just admonish the audience. If you don't get anything else from this conversation, just get this. You definitely are going to have to think outside the box and let the Spirit inside of you guide and direct your path, and it will take you on a journey and lead you to everything that's good and perfect and for you for the rest of your life. And a lot of times it's going to be different than the way society dictates. It's going to be different from what you learned growing up. It's going to be different than anything you've ever experienced before. But as long as you stay the course, you'll always be led in the right direction. Now, we have about 2 minutes left to the show, and I just want to make a quick announcement about next week's show. I am so excited about next week's show as well. My special guest next week is going to be Reverend Kevin Ross, who's a Unity minister. He's on Unity FM. I am so excited about having him on the show next week, so please tune into the show next week at 3 o'clock next week for my special guest, Reverend Kevin Ross. We have about a minute left, and I'm going to give you the last few minutes to share your thoughts with the audience.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to say to the audience that we cannot be fearful in our exploration of who we are. It is said that a fearful ruler lives a fearful life. And we want to be the ruler of our domain. So let's be the fearless rulers of our domain and go forth and explore the new life outside the box. Thank you so very much, Shirley.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so honored. I really appreciate this time that we had together. And I hope you come back and join me on the show again.
I will be honored. I will be honored. Thank you so much.
And you are a perfect example of thinking outside the box, because we had that discussion last week, and this is a giant step for you.
Magnificent.
So not only do you talk the talk, but you are definitely walking the walk as well. And I applaud you for that, my sister.
Well, thank you so very much. I indeed am honored that you would have me on this show to help me to expand my horizons.
I look forward to talking with you soon.
Indeed.
Okay, you have a blessed day.
Thank you. Live long and prosper. Bye-bye.
And you as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And that is going to do it for our show today. I am your host, Shirley, also known to some as Tafway. Thank you so much for joining me, and do tune into the show next week, where my guest will be Kevin Ross. You can always email me if you have any questions or comments about the show at alwaysinthespirit@gmail.com. Thank you so much.